good morning. Hey, it's October 9th, 22, and you're listening to the Republic of Texas radio show. You don't know how happy I am that I wasn't saying 2022, but maybe you get the hint. Eventually, it'll just fade away. You know, you're in the middle of the Great Reset. Yeah. The middle? Yeah, I don't know about that, but they're screwing up the world. They're doing this on intention, with intention, should I say. And what can be done about it? Andy has solutions. No, he doesn't. Actually, he has ideas, but he's not joining us today. He might call it. You never know, right? But Alan's probably here. Let's knock on that door. Hey, Alan, you there?
Yeah, good morning out there, RBN friends and family. Steve, here with my usual little dose of cheer and hope. And, you know, I hope that doesn't get me arrested because I'm not a licensed hope dealer. So I,
I didn't know you had any of that. You know, okay. Well, that's different.
Hope's kind of ambiguous term, Steve. You know, it's kind of like, you know, change. You know, it's like hope and change. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean for the better, does it? It's kind of an ambiguous term.
Yeah. Hey, speaking about hope and change and useless words and politicians that are evil, we got one here in Texas. You know, we got one here in Texas, and he's been running ads, man, right? So he's going up against the Mexican-Irishman, right, Robert Francis O'Rourke, right? And, you know, man, I am so torn right now. Man, no, I'm not really that torn. Because this Robert Francis O'Rourke is going up to try to unseat Roly-Poly, right? Roly-Poly being the governor of Texas. And so he's running all these commercials. And I listen to radio, RBN, on TuneIn. It's a radio app. And that way I can jump between all the different stations that I listen to throughout the day. And that's just my tether to Republic Broadcasting. And then Roly-Poly shows up on my tune in, right? So I fire it up, and there comes Roly-Poly. Oh, I don't like Beto. Oh, I don't like Beto. He's going to take your guns. He's evil. Biden sucks. And then he shows his face, Alan. Roly-Poly, Governor Greg Abbott, if you would, right, shows his face. And with squinty black eyes, he sits there and tells me to vote for him. I didn't see anything but somebody that didn't have a soul. You know how we talk about the eyes of a person and looking into those big black things and you go, oh, crap. Well, that's what I got from Abbott. Now, maybe it's just like I was expecting it because I don't like him, right, at all. But he has those eyes. I don't know what to say.
It makes them look like a different species, doesn't it? You know, and you know, a lot of people have claimed that, you know, if you want to, they're reptoids or something else, you know. At times, they really almost look like something completely different because the eyes, yeah, they're the dark pits, no real life, no compassion that you can see in them. They might look pretty. They might be all, you know, made up and everything and dolled up and wearing, you know, fancy Izod shirts and stuff like that. I guess Izod is kind of old. I don't know what the fashion stuff is, but they doll it up, they dress it up, but if you look deeply into it, it looks like something completely alien.
Yeah, I guess the new fashion is wearing lingerie on the outside or something, according to Farron. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I got a corset on and I'm a slut. Oh, did I say that out loud? Well, that's okay. But, you know, hey, Kyra, keep that down. Boy's up and rambunctious lately this morning. Well, he's always like this during the day. But we've got all sorts of stuff going on today. And we kind of have, a schizoid type production here. So you're free to call in if you wish. You know, last weekend we talked with Dave over at Dave Krieger from the Power Hour. That was an interesting conversation. And, you know, that in itself, it's nice to know other people in other alternate media sources to see their perspectives on things. But you can call into this show if you have a direction you want to go. I'm going a particular direction, Alan's going a particular direction, and we'll get started. 512-248-8252.
You know, Steve, on that, apparently maybe our directions we want to go are kind of linked, because you started off talking, you know, politics and things like that, and I've got a few things just in the local paper here once again. You know, that just shows, even in my local area, you know, what used to be a really nice place, how much it's just changed and what's really going on, if you know to speak. Just real quick, if I might, you know, Steve, you know, here we've had this, you know, this problem with everyone's up in arms about the short-term rentals, you know, and what it's doing to the neighborhoods and everything in town. And so they've got this affordable housing commission that they developed to find out how we can get affordable housing here, so the people who work in the stores that the beautiful people spend stupid amounts of money in can afford to live here. And just a couple of paragraphs here. The study also quoted income data relative to homes in Gillespie County, stating that 11% of the county's households could afford the average priced home, and 89% are priced out of the market. The presentation also pulled rental information from the affordable housing study, showing the county's rental rates to be 87% higher than all markets nationally and 92% higher than all other Texas markets. That's where we live, folks.
Yeah. And that's all silly stuff, right? You know, in all reality, Alan, the first thing they need to do is pick a color for the housing coalition, right? And find out what this housing coalition should feel like. And, you know, so they got to start a study on that, right, first.
I'll just read a couple little bit more here.
Okay, go ahead.
This is from the short-term rental project that they've got, you know, looking into the problem. And this is from the goals. And folks, you tell me if you can make anything that this actually says anything, any of these goals, okay? These are the goals. Consider a resolution declaring housing a public facility. Strategize the trickle-back of STR properties for homeowners ownership and rental units. Meet with the county to set joint objectives. Determine pros and cons of each suggested approach in the affordable housing study. And here are the near-term goals. Develop a hard-edge strategic plan to move housing objectives forward. Incorporate these objectives into the new comprehensive plan. Keep objectives and action steps in the forefront of every consideration for new or repurposed development. Stay alert and nimble to new approaches, to new circumstances. Okay, those are the short-term goals. You know, here's the long-term goals. Have sufficient, appropriately priced opportunities for housing for the people who want to live and work here. Prioritize city planning that sustains and expands these opportunities. And here, be able to tout the quality of all neighborhoods. did what I just read, it said absolutely freaking nothing. It's Agenda 21 speak.
Yeah, but they love it.
Absolutely nothing. They're sitting back laughing, saying, oh, let's just throw some stupid words out and make it sound smart, and people will think, wow, aren't our city fathers great? Yeah.
Can I tell you it's Lamborghini Day in Fredericksburg? You know, I saw a string of Lamborghinis coming in, and I'm like going, ah, crap, those guys. But, you know, they love this place as a tourist trap. But, you know, on to what you were talking about. I thought that was kind of very appropriate, you know, because it's a strange place, folks. I had one customer of mine this week that was giving me some of that. And now that you read that paper to me, that's probably why he was talking that nonsense, right? He was talking tiny houses, right? He was talking, oh, we need to be able to make houses for the people that work here. And he says, and here's my math, Steve. And he starts breaking down, I'm going to take my 42-acre plot, and I'm going to break it up into blah, 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 and then we'll get tiny houses on it. And I figure, boom, 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 hits the calculator, and it's like, and we'll be able to make houses for people that make like $15, $20 an hour. And I'm like, who makes $15 to $20 an hour? I don't know. Well, you're kind of crazy. Would you pay your people that much or that little? I don't know. But anyways, then he goes, oh, yeah, it's going to cost this much. And I'm like, and insurance. I'm sorry.
What will be your profit? You'll be making $10 million a year, right?
No. The problem is that he won't be able to finance the damn thing because the economy's going south and insurance rates are going up. And before, he won't
sure
get any banker.
Kind of government subsidy somewhere, Steve. They'll give him a supplement on the rental that he's getting on these tiny houses, and he'll be making $10 million a year on his 42 acres that he's turned into 10,000 lots.
It'll probably be some kind of a wildlife easement, or, well, I don't know. You can't do that. We have this thing here in Fredericksburg where they like to tell the people, hey, you can run cows or sheep or goats or whatever, animals on your property, and you don't have to pay taxes on that property. Or you can get a wildlife easement. Oh, what's that, you say? Oh, you just have to say it's a wildlife easement and you can't build on it and you can't do anything on that property and you still own it. And everybody goes, ooh, that sounds great. But then in order to actually build on it, you're going to have to pay all your back taxes for however long. And I don't know if they let you out anymore. You know, so basically they took your land from you for free, right? And
it basically makes it worthless because who's going to buy property with a wildlife easement on it, you know? No one wants to buy that because you can't, like you said, you can't build a house on it. Hell, you can't go out and have a campfire and camp out on your property over the weekend if you want.
Right. It becomes the ranger's place. Dun, dun, dun. The place for the ranger to come in and go, I'm a federal ranger. And do you have a gun? Are you shooting deer? I can walk on your property because I'm more important than you. I'm protecting you. And, you know, I do have some friends that are, you know, well, they, you know, it's fascinating. They consider themselves Republicans and conservatives and all that. But then they sit there and spout off, oh, well, we need to have the Rangers. And I go, do we? Right? Because, okay, got it. Somebody would sneak onto my land. I don't have any land. And shoot my deer. I don't have any deer. But see, isn't that part of the world, right? Did all the property owners decide that they don't care about skulking government officials annoying the hell out of them? Because I know quite a few customers that have been upset at the game wardens coming in and going, I need to see your, and I want to see your, and there's this, and let me see your freezer. Where's your rifle? I'm going, really? And I'm going, why do you put up with that? I'm not too sure. But it's here, and they're not very good officials. And I'm sorry, I got caught.
Prepped in. It's the slow creeping nature of a bureaucratic institution and what's happened. It's like I wish my OPA was still alive. I'd say, what? When they tried to do property taxes, you should have strangled the sons of bitches trying to do this. It's like you don't own anything anymore. Well, it's for the chillins. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a fascinating place, and, you know, all the things, it's like, okay, so we're going to talk about, I'm talking to this customer, and he's talking about wanting to start this building project to bring housing to an unaffordable area, and I'm like, it's okay, just wait, it's going to crash. And he's like, what? I don't want it to crash. I go, I know what you want, but what you want doesn't have any bearing on the universe around you, right? What do you mean? Right? Oh, okay. So, you know, we're close to a nuclear war right now. Europe is going to freeze. There's a good chance that parts of the United States is going to freeze. There's a drought in the West Coast, you know, Las Vegas and Lake Mead. Interesting. Hey,
yeah,
but
what is going on out there, Steve? Have you been keeping up with that? You know,
that
was a month ago, I guess, last time we talked about it. Lake Mead was down a dangerous level. What is it now?
It's still down a dangerous level, but right now they're all getting together and they've got their wagons and they're circling the wagons, and the people out in L.A. say they're going to take less less water and they're going to conserve more, and it's like, we're going to do one for the team, and they've got scientists looking and this and that, and it's a basic slow crash. So it's going to keep going, and I do searches every few days on it. And if anybody else has any, unique information, they found another body in a car, right? Okay, they're going to find those for a long time. you know, as they get to the bottom of Lake Mead. You know, the body, it killed lots of people. But anyways, that's just one little point of interest, you know, in this great train crash, right? Crimea, okay. So yesterday or the day before, I mean, look, the Russians are mobilizing their army, right? But the current media out there is saying, oh, we've got Russia on the ropes, right? Do you? Do you really? Right? Oh, those wonderful guys over there in Ukraine. You're like, damn, most of y'all didn't even know who a Ukraine was until, you know, earlier on in the year when this war started. And then all of a sudden, people are geopolitical experts and hanging flags and going, I hate Russians. Here's my blue and yellow. Right,
well, it's like the COVID turned, you know, everyone with a, you know, with a sociology degree or a degree in lift underwater, you know, women's basket weaving, you know, it instantly turned them into virology experts. Well, of course I know what a virus is. I'm an expert.
Right.
I watch Fox and Friends every morning. Yeah.
I don't know. We got caller on the line. We'll go there sideways.
You mentioned Crimea. Were you going to talk about the bridge that was?
Sure. We can go there.
Fell apart under an explosive force. Just coincidence, right?
No. I mean, we don't know what happened, right? But what the Russians probably do, right? Okay, let's just do that. You know, before we go to the phones. So it was, in the middle of the night, boom, it blows up and it takes down one. This bridge is interesting. It's got three different decks. One goes one direction. One goes the other direction. Then there's a train thing, right? And that's from the pictures that I've seen. Part of it, I believe, is reopened. And I was just reading about that online before. And so it's starting to go. The train level didn't go down. They're currently pointing the finger, somehow they can point a finger towards a Russian, and they're saying a Russian blew it up, right? And you're going, okay. Yeah, him and some fertilizer, right? You know, he had some pig manure or something like that, and boom, he took it down the bridge. Fascinating thing. Oh, good. It blows up, and everybody's jumping up and down, going, "Hee-haw, the bridge is dead. Oh, there goes the bridge." This bridge was built by Russia in 20, I believe it started in like 2014, and was built to connect the Crimea, who had separated from Ukraine, right? And it's like, well, we don't want to be with these guys. And so they built a, and there they are, they're happy. Now, the Ukrainians are really happy, and they're getting up there taking pictures and making memes, going, ha-ha, Russia, ha-ha, Russia, going, oh, crap, man. Seriously, you don't poke a bear and then laugh at him, right? What do you want, right? Do they think that doing that nanner-nanner boo-boo crap is good? But I guess they're really happy, right? I don't know. It just seems like the wrong move to be making. Sitting there making fun of somebody that's a hell of a lot bigger and stronger, but they think they're bigger and stronger. Like, it's too many words, Alan. Too many words.
Yep, too many words, too many turds.
Sherry in Kansas, let's get you on before I go off on another direction.
Good morning, gentlemen. An info bomb, huh? I wonder what the explosive was. I haven't seen a picture of it, so I didn't even know what the bridge looked like. But it's pretty high, doesn't it? So boats can go under it.
Yep. And that part of the bridge wasn't hurt.
The bridge in Russia, you know, they built it to connect the country of Russia to their other part of their territory, you know, the Crimea, which has always been in Russia. You know, that's one of their only warm water ports that they had was, you know, in Sevastopol.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty stout to, to have the kind of traffic you're talking about, trains and Yeah, that's got to be an engineering marvel.
Someone didn't just set off a roll of black fire, you know, firecrackers and take the bridge down or something. It had to be a pretty good explosive.
Yeah.
You know, one of the seas that it borders is the Azov Sea. I thought that was kind of curious. Right? It's like, okay, so we know about the Azov Battalion, and I didn't even know there was an Azov or Azov Sea. I don't know. Huh? Oh, okay. Black Sea and the Azov Sea. Sorry, Sharon. Carry on. I mean, it's all for show, I think. You know, and... Well, what's that going to do? Do you think the Russians can get this thing back online so Crimea can start getting bailed out for... What do they get? Do they get food and fuel from Russia over that thing?
Well, so now that's the main thing they wanted to keep Crimea for is because they've got that big base there, that big naval base that they've had there for a long time. And they have to support that.
Yeah, so I guess it's really important.
Yeah, because what is it? What's that base? I don't have a map in front of me, but it's the only... It's like they're...
It's
like a warm water port, isn't it?
It's in Sevastopol. You know, that's been the Russians' only... That's their only warm water port that they had, you know, for... a long, long time. Crimea has basically been Russia, you know, and so, yeah, there's, of course, that's more of that controversy, you know, it's like, what's Russia, what's not? It was all at one point, you know, Russia's, the largest country on the planet?
Yeah, at one time it was, took up one-sixth of
I don't know, I was, sorry, I was just looking up, no, I'm being dropped.
That's what my Funkin Wagnall said. Okay,
all right.
1962 Funkin Wagnall Encyclopedia, and I was reading in there about it. And it was originally when it was just becoming a, you know, all these tribes were getting together. Kiev or Kiev or what, however they pronounce it, that was the capital originally before Moscow became the capital. Anyway. Yeah.
History depends on the book you're reading. No, yep. Just kidding. Go ahead.
I want to talk about these, you know, these tiny houses. When you guys are talking, gives a new meaning to go to your closet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What is the...
I'm out in the corner, yeah.
If they put a whole bunch of these in one area, what are they going to do for that land out there, what do you guys do for septic systems?
Well, you have to do the same dang thing. You know, the only thing that tiny houses differ from regular houses is they're tiny, right? They have sewage, right? They have walls. They just don't have a lot of room. They're more like an RV that's kind of splayed out. And there's variety degrees of these tiny houses, but they're, well, stupid, right? People just are... Man, people are enamored with dumb stuff, right? And everybody knows that, right? You go on vacation and you go to a hotel room. That's a tiny house, right? You got your microwave, you've got your refrigerator, you got your sink right there, right? Now all you have to do is add in a dish rack and, you know, there you go. This is a tiny house, $400 a night. That's what we like to charge around here.
I don't know. I guess the actual hotel, you know, business is actually hurting with all the short-term rentals and Airbnb and all that crap. You know, I know a lot of people that they'll go on Airbnb when they go on vacation. They don't go to a hotel anymore. They'll rent a house somewhere for a weekend or whatever.
Well, they're not going to even put them 12 feet apart, are they?
No.
Yeah,
Steve, you've got a small housing unit over there. Is that thing still growing any at all?
Small housing unit. Are you talking about the one right out of
in front of the distillery? Yeah, yeah.
In front of the distillery. Well, there's one by the wino place, right? One of the wineries, And it's got like probably 15 tiny houses that they use for STRs, as Alan said. That's short-term rentals in the real world. And so you can sit there and book them, like you can book a motel room, and then you have a couple rooms, and then a living room, a dining room, and a, you know, deck, and you go drink wine and pay a lot of money for a lot of stuff. Those don't do too well. But I think that that has more to do with the owner is an idiot, right? You know, I met him once, but he basically doesn't know what he's doing, right? He hears the words, hey, tiny houses, and he's even trying to sell the tiny houses. He's got like six or eight of them sitting there ready to roll away. But, you know, I don't think that the price is there. When you start talking about numbers, the tiny houses don't make sense because you're prefabbing a standalone movable unit in a lot of senses, instead of building well or I just think it's just pie in the sky. You know, they do want that 2030 agenda, right? You know, they want you to own nothing and love it, and that's perfect for a tiny house. That's not good for an American. Because Americans like to have
kind of on this storage. Subject, guys. Was not Austin one of the test beds? Weren't they one of the test places for these what they call them, sleeping pods, where you can rent a sleeping pod overnight? And I guess you've got an hour. It's kind of like a hot bunking or something. You know, you can rent a sleeping pod to sleep in.
I don't know if that's still going, but yeah, over in 2019 they were doing that, and. I don't know. I don't know. It died in the corona because, you know, getting to could tube and cough. That just didn't work.
Jeez, could you imagine, when you said sleeping pod, I thought, and then they morph it into one of those things in The Matrix.
Yes, ma'am. That was when I first heard that term. That's exactly what my thought was.
They initiated that in Japan, right? You know, that's where they started having those things. And, you know, you could sit there and go work all day, drink all night with your comrades, and then stumble over to a pod and wake up in the morning and stumble into work and get back to work. Because they had a rough lifestyle back in the 90s, early 2000s for Japan. I don't know what it's like anymore for a lot of these countries. The norms for people have totally changed. You know, their cultures have completely changed. Completely, is that the right word? I don't think so. But they have, and makes me sad, I think.
And I guess in a pinch, they could convert coffins over to tiny sleeping pods, you know, and you'd be really kind of living like a vampire, wouldn't you?
Hey, you know, your guest last week, Dave Krieger, his last hour Friday was this couple that were trying to establish these rehabilitation places for veterans that had some health problems. And,
right.
He mentioned that they were looking at some land over by Fredericksburg. Alan, I've heard you tell Dave that what the cost of living is like over there, and I thought, oh, that's probably not a good place to go.
No, wow. not unless you get some kind of government funding, and the government pays for the property, and the government rules and runs everything, and you're, you know, if the government's back involved in it, how much good have they done for the veterans so far? Because, no, unless there is some true, you know, altruist out here, because land values out here in Gillespie County now are just insane. It was just like that article I read, you know, in the paper that, you know, only 11% of the households could afford a median-priced house in this county.
All right, first break. We'll be right back. The Republic of Texas Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
So here we fight all through the night.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I'm Steve O'Brien. This is Alan Crutcher. And Sherry in Kansas, I think, is still on the line. Are you still there, Sherry?
Yes. I want to tell Alan you need to rescan to get Press TV. They took off their regular channel, but they got an HD channel.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right.
Because the last time I did a scan, it actually dropped that, and I guess it just wasn't back up yet again. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of lethargic yesterday and today, but it's still up there. So, okay, that's all I have.
Yeah, what they're talking about there, folks, is one of the ways you can listen to Republic Broadcasting is over Galaxy 19. It's a free-to-air satellite that just sits up in the sky, and all you have to do is buy a satellite dish and install it on your house, of course, install it on your whatever, and point it to it, and you have a receiver, and you can listen to RBN without the internet. It's kind of nice. That's one of those things that Republic Broadcasting does extra. They've been doing it for a long time. And if you ever want to do something like that, you can go to do a search on the internet for FTA receiver, or go over to Rick's satellite. I could probably get you Rick's number here later on in the show. But you've been listening to satellite radio for a long time, right, Sherry?
I think Sherry left us.
She ran away.
I can give you Rick's number real quick here.
Let's do Rick's number, because I think it's important. As long as the lines of communications are still up, it's still a viable way to listen to Republic Broadcasting. Go for it, Alan.
Yeah, it's 816 228-1801. And Rick and his wife, Bobby, are wonderful people. You ever have a problem, he'll walk you through any problems you've got. Both very nice, very good people. Been dealing with them for quite a while. Very helpful.
Yeah. And one of the things is, like I say, you can go over to the internet and do a search for FTA receivers and dishes and stuff. And you can get them for really, really cheap. Get USB boards, USB ports, cards to put in your computer, blah, 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 blah. But you don't know the quality. Rick does. He sold millions and millions of these dang things out there. And, yeah, it's good quality stuff. Okay, so let's get back on track. We were talking about the end of the world or not, really. You know, what do you think, Alan? I mean, the Crimea thing, right, that's an escalation. Right. And meanwhile, you know, before Sherry called, we were talking a little bit about that. And it's going, man, they're going nanner, nanner, boo, boo towards the Russians from Ukraine. They even one bank issued a stamp. A credit card with the collapsed Russian bridge between Russia and Crimea. So all of a sudden, it's all celebrate, celebrate. Meanwhile, the Russians are, well, building up their army. There's that talk that a tsunami-class submarine. That thing disappeared last week from what I heard, and then you didn't hear anything about it, right? What is a tsunami-class submarine, Alan? I got a little bit, but I don't know a damn thing about it except for that little bit. Do you?
I've been hearing about this for years. You know, supposedly they've got, you know, some kind of a super torpedo that with like a 100-megaton warhead on it. And, you know, if they set that off the continental shelf, you know, somewhere out in the ocean, that, you know, just the sheer force of the explosion will create like a 1,600-foot tsunami or something like that, you know, that will race inland. And, you know, there's talk that it has a cobalt covering on it, and when cobalt-59 is exposed to gamma radiation, it becomes cobalt-60, one of the, you know, deadliest substances known on the planet, if not the most deadly substance. I can't say for certain. I can see how that could work. You know, has it actually ever been tested? Well, you know, it's hard to say, you know, what happened at Fukushima. You know, a lot of people claim that was not a natural tidal wave. It wasn't, you know, 1,600 foot, but was that created? Can they do this stuff? I'm of the opinion they have technologies that they can do things, you know, with not just with explosives, but with, you know, various electromagnetic and, if you want to call it, scalar technologies. You know, it's hard to say, Steve. You know, it's one of those things where you never know your Teotihuacan till it gets here. You know, you never know the end of the world until it gets here, because that could happen in many different ways. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is theoretical. You know, I guess, if you're smart enough and you've got enough computing power, you can pretty much predict, you know, what might occur if they set off a 100, you know, megaton warhead underwater. Hard to say. Really hard to say, Steve.
That's a lot of fish, right? Do you think they'd kill a lot of things putting a nuke under the water? You know, they take out the dolphins, the whales, the fish.
Well, look at the Bikini Islands, or was it the Bikini Islands over there that the French did all those tests on? And they said, oh, well, you can move back in a month. You know, they evacuated everyone, and they're still barren and desolate because they were doing, you know, underwater testing on those atolls out there. You know, what used to be a beautiful part of the country, and let's set a nuke off, a thermonuclear bomb, and it'll be wonderful. Yeah.
I was over at a customer site, you know, out of town, and I'm like, hey, you guys carry potassium iodate here? And he says, yeah, right over there. I go, is that selling right now? He said, yep. And I go, oh, okay. And, you know, I thought to myself, and this is before the Crimea stuff, right? You know, that was week and a half ago. I'm going, here's the old potassium iodate problem. You know, you take it, then they nuke the world. And then you're like, yeah, but I'm protected for the first wave, and I'll die the second wave or the third wave. Okay, we're just kind of screwed, unless you believe in what Andrew England believed, that that's all overhyped, overblown nonsense. But, you know, for the most part, you just got to, you know, go along with it. But people sit there and want to, you know, they want to build tiny houses, right? They want to believe that tomorrow is going to be the day to keep making plans like we did last, you know, what, 5 years ago? You know, everything changed when the world started falling apart, when they shut down the entire world. We call it the, you know, whatever, the coronapocalypse, right? The time where they took everybody and told them, go indoors and, you know, leave it alone. You know, Biden's doing a good job of supporting Donald Trump on that, right? What is he doing? He's shutting down, oil production. So all of a sudden, we're about to go through another wave, folks. It jumped 20 cents all of a sudden overnight here in Fredericksburg. The gas prices, sure, we're still a little bit low, but give it a minute. It'll be back up there to California levels. You know, Californians, by the way, Alan, you know, you talked about the silly little nonsense about, you know, trying to figure out how to put more housing here in Fredericksburg or some damn thing like that, you know, assembling a great group of smart intellectuals, a public-private assemblage, right, to, right, find housing. They're doing that in California. Right, they're like, well, we're going to get together a group and we're going to find out why our gas prices are so high. I'm going, oh, crap. It's because you don't make any gas. Or, I'm sorry, you don't make any oil. You don't pull any oil out. You hate it. You overtax it. Everything's taxed. Right? You crazy, stupid idiots. Right? They're like, well, and, you know, the more I read about that.
Hey, I just want to say, if Sherry's still listening, I just did a scan with my, of course, I've got one of these new little digital piece of crap receivers, you know, it's not like the big ones that I used to have, and apparently it's not picking it up, so I guess maybe tomorrow I might have to call Rick up myself, and sometimes, I don't know, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you can manually enter, you know, the frequency and the uh-huh. and the polarity and et cetera, and because... This new little digital piece of crap, they might have been able to do something to it where they don't want people being able to pick that up, but you can manually force it in, kind of like, you know, with a computer, you know, because you don't have the domain name, you know, you can go in and you can plug in all the funny little numbers and everything and still get to the website, right?
Right. Well, there's a frequency and symbol rate and yada, yada.
Yeah.
You know, I it's been a while since I did anything like that. Well, I think it's hilarious. You know, you love technology, but you hate it all in the same, Alan. You know, it's so your older one was digital. Well, I mean, digital, but it wasn't just a single chip and weighed about the same as a pack of cards. You know, it had some weight behind it. Hold on.
It's like all this stuff that's been micronized, you know, Steve. All these little micro circuits. I mean, you know, a diode, you know, the smaller than a grain of rice and a resistor and all this stuff. That's kind of hard to do any kind of repair on. Maybe if you have a lab and microscopes and computers and, you know, and CNC machines and stuff. But I kind of like the old, you know, the diodes and the resistors. You know, you could, you know, your piece of equipment stops burning. You can, you know, take it out and look at the board and it's like, oh, you know, burnout resistor is pretty easy to see. It's like, oh, well, what size is that? Well, you can desolder it, put a new one back in, and your damn, you know, your little piece of machine works again. Don't happen in today's world no more. Once again, it's become, they're turning us into idiots and things that you can't repair and replace. Oh, we'll just throw it away and buy a new one.
Right? But there is no new ones available. There won't be. You know, mark my words, this is where we're going. You won't be able to buy your doohickey. Well, whatever. Mike in Kentucky, come on board. Hello.
Ding, 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 ding. Did you do like a blind scan that quick? I mean, your little receiver must be fast if it scanned an entire satellite while you were talking.
Well, to tell you the truth, there's not as many channels on the satellite anymore. I guess everything's going to streaming and computerized so that everything can be tracked and traced. But it actually does a scan fairly quick.
What kind of scan did you do, though? A full blind scan?
Yeah.
If you go into the menu, there's usually on those, there's several options to quick scan or whatever. Each satellite still has the same on KU band. That's what FTA, your receiver, I'm sure, is a smaller dish, right? It's not the big one.
Yeah.
Right. You're looking at Galaxy 19 with a fixed. You got a fixed dish with no rotor motor on it, or?
Yep. That's yep.
Yep. Yep.
Well, it has the same.
I've got multi-stream FTA only TV radio. You know, NT search. I was doing a general search. You know, over everything that's on that satellite, and yeah.
Sometimes you have to go into the main menu, and you can find what they call a blind scan, or you can redo it. But it's nice to have them pre-programmed. That's what you've gotten for years, isn't it? Rick will pre-program them for you.
Pretty much.
Clones
yeah.
the data out of his.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you can go in and rearrange the channels however you want. You know, you can put one that's a number 120. You know, you can move it up to the front, and you know you can move stuff around in it. But let me see. I'll go up and do just TV radio. Maybe that'll bring it down.
probably.
Yeah.
Who knows? If it's there, I had a couple of different satellites, receivers. I started getting suspicious about it. It would scan right past RBN, and I could not get the RBN audio. RT America would come in just fine on that bird, but they took it off like a back in February the 18th,
yep.
wasn't it? Somewhere in Evernote,
yep.
War started
this year. Yeah.
Guess who else was like gone on February the 18th?
Okay, I can't guess. Pinocchio?
No, me, TV10. They took me off cable. Boom, dropped the
crop. Oh, really?
February the 18th. Same day they got rid of Russia Today. I'll take that as a badge of honor, I guess.
I just did another scan, and it didn't pick it up. So.
Yeah, you might have to. There might be another scan in the menu somewhere that you're not familiar with. So, like you go into the setup menu or something and find a blind scan.
I know it pretty well. I'll call Rick tomorrow, and if nothing else, he can give me the frequency and the symbol rate and the polarity and everything. And you can manually you can force feed it in, and I'll see if that'll work.
I've done that too. It's not too hard to set those up. I've set them up with the simple little tone generator satellite receiver. What do you call them? Bird dog.
Oh yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
You just take it's just got an analog little meter on it, and you set it. You use a compass and you aim the compass. You know, and get your LNA lined up with straight south. Move it over to 89 degrees west, which is where you're at.
Well, here, right where we're at, it's 171 degrees, and which is easy to set with a compass. And then I'll just go in and turn the volume up real loud and get up on the roof up there and do my vertical adjustment on it until I pick something up. You know, it's about 45 or 55 degrees elevation. Something like that.
That's if you've got a pre-programmed satellite, though. If your receiver's not pre-programmed, you've got to find that Clark belt and then do your scan. And when you buy these, the dirt cheap ones don't come pre-programmed. But if you get one from Rick, or you get one, get him to send you a thumb drive that you can plug in there, and you get it's same thing with the digital television. By the way, some show I was listening to earlier might have been a rebroadcast, I guess, overnight. But they had talking about over-the-air television, and it's the same thing. All those parameters for those digital televisions, you have to scan those in, and it's called Program Stream Information Protocol, PSIP. Mm-hmm. If you've got a friend that's a couple miles away on a big hill, and they're getting all these stations, you can take your TV to their antenna, plug it in, scan in that information. Then you can go around, like you say, in the yard with your antenna and fish around for that sweet spot where you're getting in the most channels, because if you look on these engineering diagrams, they'll have, you know, the terrain is shaded and illuminated with the signal, and sometimes you get it
in an area that you wouldn't expect to get it, if you already have the, you know, the PSIP data in there. Otherwise, you're sitting there scanning and scanning and moving the antenna, and it's aggravating. So I think they killed the television business model on purpose. There's a guy down in Texas I know that says that TV is now considered a secondary service. And so it's a secondary service, and everything else, even radio, I guess, is not considered a secondary service right now. But they tried to, I don't know, did you follow that last year? They tried to shut down analog AM, and a bunch of people raised a ruckus because they're leasing out their stations to foreign broadcasters, making big bucks. That's a prestigious thing to own a piece of America like that, you know, own a station in America. Imagine bragging to your friends in Pakistan, oh, yes, I lease a station in America and broadcast to all my friends in Pakistani. You know, because there's all these boroughs and pockets of people that aren't assimilating in America. I've heard Houston has an entire zone of Koreans and Asians, and the police don't even go there. It's like their own autonomous zone or something. Well, have you heard that about
that's
America?
That's the music. Hang on, Mike. Yeah. Let's go through the break. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Very far. Hope our best intentions. I was shy to pay attention. It's
hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right. We're back.
Republic of Texas Radio. I'm Steve O'Brien, head chef, Alan Crutcher, co-pilot, and, well, Mike in Kentucky, you know Mike. We were just talking about what? Free-to-air satellites, IPTV, cable systems, alternate media. It kind of all comes together to a certain extent. They're talking yesterday, Mike, while I got you on the line. Darren Weeks was playing some stuff on his show, Govern America, governamerica.com. And he was talking about, well, the powers that be, they and them, and the people that just don't want you to be free, still don't like you. You being the Republic Broadcasting listener, me being the, you know, host, and Mike being the man, real pain in their side. You know, he was running a cable. He wasn't running it. He worked for a cable operation, kind of doing community-based television. And he was, telling the truth, and they don't like the truth, so they play whack-a-mole with the truth. And places like Republic Broadcasting, this is not social media, but technically, I guess you could call that this social media, Mike, because it is an open call-in type thing, right? But it's really not. It's a website thing, but it's not. I don't know. What do you think? Did I make a good question, or is that just gibberish?
I don't. Most of what we run into, RBN is more of a social media than the social media is. I think social media is more like social engineering media because, you know, RBN has had its issues, I guess, with certain hosts banning certain callers or whatever. But with the social media, there's a lot. Did you see the article where the artificial intelligence is now steering the culture, and it's creating a feedback modifying humans' behavior, and then it modifies itself. It was on.
That's what it was set up to do, Mike.
I'm not putting my computer right now, huh?
It's what it was set up to do.
Well, it.
Up to modify and control behavior.
No, originally it was meant to cut labor costs by doing things and alerting the real people, you know, when it ran into something it couldn't figure out. I mean, the artificial intelligence was meant to combine tasks that were fairly mundane, you know, that could be done automated, almost like a robot, but it has been morphed into what social media is doing is social engineering. So it's gotten more sophisticated. I can't remember the name of the article. I'll try to look it up here during the break, and I was going to post it.
All right. Well, if you haven't figured it out, that's the music. So we're going to end hour one and move on to hour two because it's kind of linear like that. Republic of Texas Radio. Hang on.
Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
OPEC Plus cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The oil-producing nations of OPEC Plus announced that they are cutting oil outputs by 2 million barrels a day. Senator Joe Manchin said the move shows that the U.S. must emphasize American energy independence and security. Seems like I've heard that before. In response to the output cut, the Biden administration announced the release of 10 million more barrels from the nation's strategic petroleum reserves. Gee, that will cover the shortfall for a whole 5 days. Then what? Biden has already drained the reserves to their lowest point in decades. Biden created this problem by forcing his green agenda and is using the nation's strategic reserves as his party's campaign checkbook to attempt to bring gas prices down before next month's elections.
Find more news and commentary. Liberty-Lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.